never got her. We cannot hold her in the battle. We're tried and true.
Welcome, everybody, to Indiana Basketball Weekly on the Grueling True Sports Network. Remember, if you want to bet on Wednesday night's game as we host the Nebraska Cornhuskers, make sure you go to BetMGM. Click on the link in the description down below if you're watching on YouTube to make your bet. It is our top-rated sports book for betting on college basketball. I'm your co-host, Mike Goodpaster. We're here today to look back at Indiana's 75-72 loss to the Northwestern Wildcats on Sunday at Assembly Hall. And I want to welcome in my co-host, Brian Moore. How you doing, Brian?
Yeah, still recovering. Yesterday was a up and down day. Unfortunately, more down than up.
I thought it was just a down day, but...
Oh, no, the Boilers suckers lost, so yeah, it's always a good
day. That's not. If we lose, it doesn't matter what Purdue does, because we still lost, so we can't make fun of them because we lost, too.
If all you right. Purdue as much as I do, then it was that part of the day was a good day. I laughed.
I just hate Kentucky. All right, so Indiana, for the second time in the last month, had a week off. And once again, instead of helping them, they looked unprepared. And the bad thing is, Ty Berry, Northwestern, lost him, what, Wednesday night's game against, who was it, Rutgers? And yeah. I think they're missing one of their best players, maybe their best player, their best shooter, and they played a game on Wednesday night. We had a week off, and this team looked completely unprepared again, Brian.
Well, unprepared or lethargic, one of the two.
Being unprepared if you're lethargic, because the main thing is the bringing intensity, and that is something that we are sorely lacking still.
Yeah, I mean, the first, 6-7 minutes, I think we played a good game, and then the last 6 or 7 minutes, but in between was a total fiasco. I mean, if you would have told me that Indiana would hold Bowie to no points at halftime, I'd say we would be winning that game.
Well, especially without Berry there.
Yeah. And it was not the case. I mean, that game to me was nothing but a head scratcher. You look at the stats and, you know, how the hell did we lose this game?
I can tell you, because when we had this debate, because you gave me crap because I picked Northwestern, and I was really close to picking the score, too. You got to give me that. But the thing I told you was this. They shoot free throws well. They don't turn the ball over. They play good defense. They're better coached. That's the difference in this game. I mean, free throws. We missed 9 free throws in a game. We lost by 3. And the free throw shooting was, it didn't seem like it was that good. I expected to see like 8 for 21 when I looked at the stat sheet. 12 for 21 was better than I expected. 11
still
turnovers.
Bad.
11
still bad, though.
Yeah, 11 turnovers is unacceptable, especially when the other team only has 3.
3, the whole game. Yeah.
The star of this game was Ryan Langborn, who played all 40 minutes. He was 7 for 15 from the field, 4 for 7 for 3-point range, 8 for 8 free throws. And the other thing about him, 6 assists, 0 turnovers, 1 steal, 26 points. I think him, Nick Martinelli, who made a couple threes in the second half after a rough first half, Nicholson, those were the guys that won this game, because Boo Booey did not play well. He missed more open threes than I've seen him miss the entire season.
Yeah, I said, Booey shocked the shit out of me. I know we don't agree on this, but I was giving Cups kudos because I thought he did a fairly good job of defense on him. And even when Bowie got points in the second half, he usually got points off a switch on somebody else, and it wasn't Cups. So you to go back and look at it, you'll see when there were switches and somebody else was guarding Bowie other than Cups, that's when Bowie scored. So I'm going to give kudos to Cups. I thought he played a good defense. He was 2 for 2 from 3, which is better than anybody else on this team. I mean, we saw a little bit out of him. And then, of course, Ware, I think, had another. Those are the two guys that I'm happy with today is Ware and Cups. And that's right. About it.
And Brian Wetter says, I feel for you guys. Same whole situation. It's not getting any better. It's actually seemed like the same situation since we started the show in 2015 or 16.
Now, I will call out one player on this team that I think I don't like to say this very often, but a guy that I think needs to sit for a while is Renu.
Yeah, he's regressed. He looks like the Renew of last year right now, where he'll make a couple great plays, he'll make some stupid ones, and then all of a sudden he gets in foul trouble. And hell, half the time you can't even get him out of the game before he's made his next foul.
Exactly. I mean, he was just, to me, he was hurting the team yesterday. I mean, we've talked for several weeks now about his inability to kick the ball back out when he goes inside. And it was even worse yesterday. I saw nothing about his game that looked good yesterday.
Yeah, and my biggest concern in all that is, I mean, he has seemed kind of disgruntled too. So I think those two things have played together because he looked like a much better player even as short as 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I don't think it's his inability to throw the ball out of the post. I don't think he wants to throw it out of the post. And the other issue here, and I remember when we talked about this game and you were trying to talk me into betting on Indiana, you told me, well, we'll dominate them on the boards. And the boards look 28-27. You know, you think it's about even. The problem with that is Northwestern grabbed 14 offensive rebounds, which turned into 12 second chance points.
Right.
Indiana on the offensive glass was horrible. And to me, especially when you're playing a team like Northwestern, it looked like they wanted a ball more. And once again, I did my dive stat. Indiana had a player get on the court one time. Northwestern had it happen 5 times.
And which player was that on the
floor? Gabe Cups.
Cups, thank you.
Because he's the only one that does it. All right, we got a message from a few people. We'll run them up real quick. IU players equal top 10 in the nation in talent. IU coaches bottom of the barrel. I will disagree with this. They're not a top 10 team in the nation in talent because they have no guards. If you're just looking at if you're looking at Mbaku, Ware, and Renew, they're good. Bottom of the barrel coaches, no doubt. Robert Stewart, Malik is looking and yapping at the refs the last two games. Yes, and it's getting very disturbing. Brian Wetters, Renew's on-court attitude is terrible, always pointing a finger at someone else when he needs to look in the mirror. I mean, I think this. I think that he stepped up for our senior leadership in Xavier Johnson, and he's playing like Xavier does, which, I mean, is an issue because there is a lot of whining on this court. And I think, and I told you this at halftime, I think that Mike Woodson at some point, especially in a situation where the crowd is booing the team, needs to just lose his shit on some referee just to try to get everybody, you know, like an us against the world mentality, which we don't get that because there were some questionable calls, and I'm not going to blame anything on the refs because Northwestern had a horrible one that was called flagrant at the end of the game too. They kind of evened up, what was it, Sparks' supposed flagrant foul.
Yeah.
Neither one of those were flagrant fouls. Those were just guys playing hard, and they got tangled up. I thought
That one guy hit him in the face. That's
wow, and he meant to. He literally punched him in the face.
That's what you told me. That is
I know,
the letter
that is
the law.
I said it was bullshit. Okay. I said it was bullshit on Sparks. I mean, if a dude's taking a swing at you, that's one thing. But if you're just playing hard trying to get the ball, come on, let him play. But the one thing that was an issue there is with the flagrant foul on Northwestern, it led to one made free throw. The flagrant foul on us led to two made free throws, and then they hit a two. So on those two calls that evened out, they got 4 points. We got one. Difference in the game is 3. And, I mean, it's just to me, we didn't deserve to win the game anyways because we didn't play until the last 5 minutes. And if you remember, I still think the way for this team to play is what we saw in the last 5 minutes. You throw the ball around. First open shot, you shoot it. Because I think what happens here when you get the two bigs inside is that I think we compact everything so much, it makes it harder for wear and renew. Where I think if we just shoot the ball and play at a faster pace, I think that that would help us immensely because athletically, there's not many teams in this conference that guys have or the teams have like Renew, Ware, and Mbaku in the front court that can run like that. And I think this team plays too stationary. And here, I'm going to let Brian read this comment.
What is this?
I don't know.
Alex Tuesday. What?
English, please. English.
Translation, please.
Yeah, probably one of those migrant buses to New York and they got Wi-Fi. All right.
Well, look, I kind of like the smaller, but tell me who the four players are going to be on the court.
I just told you. I mean, those players, I'm going to play that way, I'm going to play Mbaku as a small four. All right, okay, that is the only change. He's going to play a four. I'm going to put Ware on the floor with him. I'm going to put Cups on the floor with him. I mean, and anybody else that is not named Malik Renu and Trey Galloway, because I think Galloway's ass needs to be on the bench. I think he has been an utter disappointment. And I think really on a good team, he's the sixth or seventh guy.
I agree.
He tries to force everything.
He's our Will Sheehy off the bench. I mean, he did have, you got to give him credit though. He did have 12 assists yesterday. Unfortunately, the guy he was defending lit him up for 26 points. So,
yeah. And it's a guy you wouldn't expect to score 26 points. So right. He kind of evened it out. So we'll give him a push. But I just think in general, I think he plays very selfishly. And I don't think it's on purpose because he's selfish. I think he's just trying to make something happen. Brian Wetter says this is the time of the season where teams are getting better and stronger. At least tonight's teams did. You're right, Brian. This is the thing. I watched Ohio State got better just because they removed the coach, I think. Outside of Michigan, every team in the Big Ten to me, outside of Michigan, Indiana, looks like they've improved. I mean, Minnesota is big time improved. Penn State's improved, even though the record's not that great. They lost a couple games, but they're a lot better team than they were at the start of the year.
You think Iowa's improved?
I think Iowa has improved, yes, because Iowa was terrible. Iowa at one point was 7-7. Or some crap like that. They didn't play anybody. I don't know that Iowa's improved, but they haven't regressed. They're Iowa, which means their coach is a genius at running offense, and he's an absolute moron at defense. So, I mean, it is what it is. He's half of a really good coach. If he
lift him up, smack him down.
Yeah, I mean, if he could coach defense, he would be a good coach. I think Rutgers is a team that's improved immensely, and I do think that Pikel up there is a good basketball coach. I think Northwestern is the best coach team. And I think we saw that because when we watch Northwestern, they do not look like a team that should have 19 or 20 wins right now, Brian.
No, I don't know how they're doing it because, I mean, if you look at just even look at our game yesterday, five players scored the points. That's it.
Yeah, but that's all you need, all your play.
One guy had 1 point off the bench, but it was five players. That's it. And like you said, a couple guys played almost the entire game. They gutted it out. I mean, I'll give them credit. I'm as much as I hate to say it, but they out-hustled us yesterday totally.
Yeah, and that goes back to why I can't believe you talked me out of betting on them. But, well, I mean,
who was the bigger sucker, me saying it or you doing it?
Me doing it. I didn't want to cheer for us to lose while I was watching the game. So, I mean, I'm not negative. I'm just being truthful.
You could not get me to believe that Northwestern's front line was going to out-rebound on get. I mean, what? There was like 11 rebound difference between their offensive rebounds and our offensive rebounds. I would never have guessed that.
Well, and the thing is, all their rebounds came from basically two players. Matthew Nicholson, 13 or 14 points, 16 rebounds. Nick Martinelli, 13 points, 13 rebounds. Yeah. They both had huge afternoons on the boards. And it's what I told you when you started bringing up the rebounding thing before I talked myself out of it. Rebounds are usually the team that wants it the most. And really, during this Big Ten season, it's not like we've out-rebounded a bunch of teams either.
No, but I think we were pretty even when it came to total rebounds. It was just we sucked on the offensive boards.
Yeah, which is the most important part, right, where you give up the points. Hold on. We got somebody new who made a comment. We've got Brent Thacker. At this point, I will take Crean back. At least there was some passion there and some structure. I'd really need to wear my glasses when I do this. Woodson is like a deer in headlights. I just don't see him as a motivator. Our one offensive play is easily telegraphed. Brian Wetters, I'm afraid a coaching change is likely now.
I don't think so.
Well, no, you wouldn't. But my question is this, when would it be?
Well, as I told you, I think if we go into this offseason, we go into this offseason and if he doesn't get a bunch of guards to come in here, then he's going to keep doing the same thing with the front court. And then I'll say, yeah, we're probably looking at a change by the end of next year.
But why do we want to waste a year?
Why do you want to keep changing?
I'm not. I mean, this is the thing. Everybody says that you can't change coaches every 3 years. If a coach hasn't got the job done in 3 years, they're usually not going to get the job done, especially when the third year is a regression from the first 2 years.
And you, okay, every team has regressions.
Do they? Every,
yes.
Well, not that I see. Kansas doesn't have big regressions.
We had it. Even Knight had regressive years.
Yeah, he had regressive years that were, let's see, if you a regressive year for Bob Knight, 1977, coming off an undefeated national championship season. Bobby Knight's other years of regression, 1979, sandwiched between 78 and 80, which were Sweet 16 teams. I mean, it's not the same thing. We've not accomplished anything as a program since Tom Crean. I mean, to me, an accomplishment is the Sweet 16. It's not going and in the second round getting your brakes beat off by Miami. It's just
well, you and I discussed some other issues with this university, and I still think that plays a lot into it.
Yeah,
and does it matter what the coach is if a coach isn't allowed to do certain things?
Yeah, but we don't know that he's not allowed to. I do know that Archie Miller was not allowed to a few times. I don't know if that's still the same thing. I would have a tendency to think it's less likely just because Quinn Buckner's running the show, which is how Woody got the job. And the other thing is this, Brian, I haven't seen – there's not been a game where I thought, man, we were so prepared, and that other team was better than us, but we just completely out-prepared them and outplayed them. I mean, I just didn't. The Purdue wins last year. The second game was Hood Schifino going off for like 30 points. The first game was Trace Jackson Davis went off. And my biggest issue is this. We've went through an entire year where every game we talk about lack of energy, lack of leadership, lack of preparedness. All that falls on the head coach.
Well, the leadership on the court is not going to change this year.
Okay.
I mean, how's it going to change? I mean, who is going – nobody – to point me to somebody who could pick up the mantle of leader on that court.
Oh, I could point it, but you would have to play a different style of play, and that's not going to happen because he's more worried about getting all his NBA guy or all those big guys at the NBA. I think this. I think the way we sit now, Ware's not going to be an NBA draft pick. I don't think that there is a world where he's a first-round NBA draft pick. So I don't know.
He's on every draft board as a first-round
draft pick. That is so fucking awesome. I don't care. He's not going to be a first-round draft pick. He's just not. He doesn't – I mean, I think this. I think his toughness has come a long way, but I still think he plays soft. And if we look up, hold on, NBA mock draft. I don't see a world where he's going to advance in this mock draft because of what's going on at IU. There's going to be no NCAA tournament. And when we look at where, we'll see where they got him. Yeah, they got him going somewhere around 18. Mm-hmm. Another one has him going 29. Another one has him going 30. I mean, if we lose him, it's not a big loss because we haven't won with him and he has not taken over leadership. So if a guy is, dude, I'm telling you this, he's not a leader. If he's not a leader, there's no reason to be here.
You were talking where. You want where to be the leader?
No, I'm saying this. If where is that good where he would go play in the NBA, why is he not the leader? I mean, he's the best player on the team, correct?
In my book, yeah, he is.
So why would he not be the leader?
Your top player isn't always your leader.
Never said it was, but most teams it are. It is. You know, the leader of the Pistons in the late 80s was Isaiah Thomas. The leader of the Bulls was Michael Jordan. I will tell you this. I will say that most championship teams, their leader is their best player. Just flat out.
Are you going to say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the leader of the Lakers?
Magic Johnson was the leader of the Lakers and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. There is a reason his nickname from the time he got to UCLA was captain. And yes, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar put that team on his back and willed them to championships. It wasn't always Magic. 1985, NBA Finals, Game 2, 36-year-old Kareem Abdul-Jabbar coming off the worst game he ever played. The story is he walked in the locker room that night, looked at Magic and said, just give me the ball and I'll win us the game. And he went as a 36-year-old man running up down the court with Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish, scored like 36 points, had like 18 rebounds. So, yeah, I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a leader. He was an asshole sometimes.
Your definition of leader is just to take over a team and score all the points.
No, my definition of a team is if you need to, you do. And if not, you make everybody else around you better. And that is what guys like Jordan, but Bird and Magic did. Well, Jordan didn't because he had to go get Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman because he wasn't going to make everybody else better. I mean, the fact is this. Larry Bird went to the Boston Celtics. They traded for Robert Parrish, who was considered lazy and didn't play hard. You know, they brought in Kevin McHale, who at Minnesota was considered just a guy. They got a lot better when they played with Bird. I'm just telling you this. There's no leadership from the head coach either. There's no leadership from assistant coaches. The assistant coaches sat on their ass. And then we have Malik Renew getting an argument with an assistant coach. Nothing is done to him about it. He won't be sat down. They won't. I mean, they're not going to keep him out of the starting lineup. They need to.
When that argument came, he was fouled out, so he was going to sit either way.
Yeah, but the thing is, he argued with his coach. He has no respect for his coaches. I mean, at that age, you don't go off on the guy who's supposed to be your immediate coach. I know some people do, but those guys are turned assholes. I mean, I don't see guys go off on him. And from what I heard, Woody got into it with Renew after the game also. So hopefully he will do something there. Because
that's Woody's style. Your style's in your face out in the open.
That's the only way to do it. It doesn't work the other way. Well, I mean, that's the way everybody does it nowadays. Because they don't even do it behind scenes. Okay, and yes.
Would you be shocked if Renew doesn't start Wednesday?
Yeah, probably. I wish I could say no, but I would probably be a little bit shocked. I think his ass should sit, though. I mean, this is the problem, though. We've had these issues all year long with different players in different times. Everything is let slide. Maybe they don't let Xavier start a game, but he still plays 30 minutes. What the hell's the difference? I'm just saying, there is no accountability on the team. There's no leadership. And my question is, and it's a serious question, because I also have no problem with giving the offseason to see what happens. My worry is the offseason, he still doesn't get the players he's needing. We're stuck with this again. And then what happens? What do you do if, and I think Mbaku will stay, all right? But what if all of a sudden these three studs all decide to leave and it's not to the NBA, it's to go to a different team? What happened to you? What does happen if players start to leave and you don't get the portal? Then we're screwed. I mean, is it really worth that
risk? Okay, so if you and I are somewhat in agreement on Renew, is it going to be a bad thing if Renew enters the portal?
No. But what I'm saying is, it's a bad thing if you get three or four guys to do, because that's not a good sign. And then that's three or four more guys you got to replace. Actually, to me, if you lost them all, I'd be fine with it. My problem is, from what I saw last year, we swung and missed a lot in the portal.
Yeah, we did.
And if we do that again and you have a couple guys leave on top of it, you're screwed. Now, if you keep this entire group together, except for the ones like Leal and them that have to go, and Johnson, well, now you can bring a couple guards in here and be all right. But
Leal has another year.
Well, he needs to not, because, I mean, come on. I mean, he's a dude that his one job is to shoot the ball. He played 12 minutes in the first half yesterday and didn't take one shot. My problem is this. If you're a shooter and you're not shooting the ball, that means you're not working on offense. You're not trying to get open to try to get a shot. You're just trying to blend in and get your playing time. And that's what this entire team looks like right now. They look like they're all just trying to blend in, get some playing time, and we'll go hang out later. And the jerseys were absolutely hideous. I don't care what anybody says. But I'm at the start of the game, and Northwestern missed a shot. And I'm like, damn it, we got to make that. And then, I just get confused. It was us.
It was confusing at first because it was like.
Dude, I was still getting confused in the last 5 minutes of the game. But, of course, that's because they started the game at 3, and we all know that I have a tendency to doze off between 4 and 5 every day. And I wake up one time, and I see Northwestern shoot a 3 and make it. And I'm like, it's about time. And then I realized Northwestern's in white playing at Indiana. And it was horrible. And they looked like AAU jerseys or practice jerseys you would wear in high school. It was absolutely a disgrace. The coaches looked like absolute idiots in what they were wearing with the Indiana on. I mean, it was absolutely stupid. And I know it's ESPN and it's woke and we have to bow down to everything, but it's absolutely asinine that we have to. Indiana's uniform is red and white, or white and red, or cream and crimson. It is not black. And it's stupid.
Well, it was even worse because that red on the black was so hard to even
see. You couldn't see the numbers half the time.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know who was on the damn court most of the time because the announcers aren't – the Fox Sports announcers suck at talking about – they suck, okay?
Especially who was the analyst? He was really bad.
Oh, God. I forgot his name. Yeah, he did the last Fox Sports game, I think we were – game we were on. He drives me nuts.
Well, it's the world.
I think he did the Ohio State University game. Because he kept saying the Ohio State
University. I'm sorry, they're Ohio State. And if Joe Spillman's watching, you're Ohio State. You can't be the Ohio State until you figure out how to beat Michigan in football again. All right, so we've got another game coming up in a couple days. I'm pumped about it. Nebraska comes here. Nebraska versus Indiana. This issue that scares me here is Nebraska's guards, especially with the Japanese kid, because that kid wore them out last game. The good thing is it's at home.
He is streaky, though.
Well, yeah, but chances are if you're streaky, you're streaking against us because that's how this seems to go this year. And, I mean, I don't know, Brian, what's your take here? Our season is definitely over. I mean, we're not going to the NCAA tournament.
Right.
But we do need to win some games here at some point. We don't want to end up with a losing record.
Well, I would honestly like to see the three-guard team and just have Mbako and Ware out there and sit Renew and have him come in for Ware. That's what I'd like to see. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's what I'd like to see. But my only other problem is who's the other guard that you have out there? You mean you're going to have Cups, you're going to have Galloway. We still don't have X.
I would roll with CJ Gunn. I want to see if he can play before next year. None of them did really that regards. I mean, Gabe Cupps played a little bit of defense. Galloway had some assists, but overall, there wasn't a whole lot done by any guards here to say, well, he should play. Cupps played 32 minutes. Galloway played all 40. CJ Gunn played 9 minutes. And he was 2 for 2 from the free throw line, which makes him better than all of our other guards right there off the bat.
Yeah, but Cupps was 2 for 2 from the three-point line, which nobody else is doing.
But Cupps didn't even get to the free throw line. No, I'm good with Cupps being in. I'm good with Cupps and Gunn. I don't need to see any more Galloway or Renew right now because I really think to have this team where it needs to be next year, you got to find out what you got right now.
Okay, and what do we got? What do we got then? All right, so you got Cupps and Gunn. Who's your third? Who's your third?
Leal? Who's my third?
Oh, Leal?
No. What's your language? I would go, if I'm trying to shake things up, I'm going to go Anthony Walker.
Walker hasn't been doing crap either.
Wait a second. You know what? We can't have five starters if we're only going to go with guys that have done something lately. Am I wrong? I mean, Mbaku played really well in the second half yesterday. Ware played really well in the game. Cupps played a little bit of defense. Am I missing anything? Because the way I look at it, does it really matter?
Well, Galloway, if you base it off of yesterday's game, Galloway had 12 assists.
Wow. And he also
isn't that missed, what you want a guard to do?
He also – not if he's going to miss 5 shots and 2 free throws.
Well, he's been doing that all year.
I know, and that's the issue. Either that or I would play Galloway as the third guy. And I'd probably go Galloway instead of Walker, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I would.
But I would play him as a three. I would like to see if Cupps can actually play point guard successfully, where he actually shoots the ball.
Cupps is, in my opinion, the better shooter.
Well, I agree. And I think he's probably a better point guard because Galloway, I don't know. He just looks like a forward playing
point guard. If you want Cupps to be your point guard and potential three-point threat as a freshman,
Steph Curry's a point guard. No, I don't care. That's what I'm going to ask because he's supposed to be a kid that's a stud coming out of high school, right? So
well, all of these guys are supposed to be studs. So Ibaka was supposed to be a stud.
So show me. So they haven't really given Cups full reign of this and just said, go out, and maybe he's your leader. I doubt
it. I think he will be.
I think
whether it's this year.
So why not just try to give him that experience right now is what I'm saying. The season is lost. The only way to make the NCAA tournament is to win the Big Ten tournament. The way this is going, the only way to do that is probably going to be what? Win 4 or 5 games in 4 or 5 days. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, the only way they're going to have to win out and they're going to have a deep run the Big Ten tournament to have.
No, winning out will not give them a chance. They have to win the Big Ten tournament. There's no world where winning these last 4 or 5 games gets them in, even with a couple wins in the Big Ten tournament.
If they win out, there'd be 19-11.
Yeah, which is not going to get a team with how many quad one wins would they have then?
They probably might get 2 more. Because they're going to beat Wisconsin. If they beat Wisconsin, that's a quad one.
It is not. Not at home, it ain't.
It's top, is it 15 or?
Top 30.
Okay.
They're not top 30, I don't think.
I beg to differ.
Differ all you want, but my guess is probably
Well, that's
not.
The nature of this damn show, is to disagree.
No, we're supposed to agree all the time, but there's no reason for me or you to be on.
Oh.
Don't you remember there was a dumbass that said that once?
Oh, yeah.
I figured you would remember that. All right, so when we look at this right now, hold on, I'm losing it. You keep making me disable my firewall. Look up the net rankings right now and tell me what Wisconsin has. Because if they play again between now and when we play them again, they probably won't be there anyways. Hey, Purdue's number 2 now in net rankings. I found them. You'll be glad to know that Houston's number 1. All right, Wisconsin is 20.
I'm so excited about Houston being number 1 in the rankings.
Wisconsin is number 22 right now.
Okay, so there you go. There's a quad 1.
As long as they don't lose again, but right now it ain't looking too good for them. And the other problem is this, we're so far down here now. Hey, Nebraska is not a quad 1.
No, Nebraska would be a quad 2.
Yeah, which means nothing. We need quad 1s. Let's see, where's Indiana? Did we move up at all with our loss?
An odd one.
That's me making a joke. They dropped from 98 to 101, okay. And they are 1-8 in quad 1s, 4-2 in quad 2s. Quad 3 and 4, they're 9-1 now. So that'll be good for the NIT. But so I don't think
we don't play Illinois again, right? We're done with Illinois.
Let's see.
Michigan State would be a quad 1 if we won.
All right. So you just told me there's 2 possible quad win 1s, and that's it. Which would put us at 3 and a record of 3-8 against them. I don't think there's a way this team gets in without winning the Big Ten tournament.
I think a deep run in the tournament. I don't know if winning it, but I say deep run.
But they're not capable of that. I mean, it's not to be an asshole, but when is the last time we saw them play one 40-minute game, much less 4 or 5?
They haven't. They have not. They've come close a couple of times, but they have not played a 40-minute game.
The only game I remember where they came close was the Kansas game.
Right.
And the problem there, it was 36 great minutes and then 4 horrid minutes at the end. But right now, if we're going to be honest, do you really think they're going to beat Nebraska here?
I'd say it's right now. Look, if there is no change in the lineup, it's highly unlikely.
Are they going to go to Penn State and win?
No.
Are they going to beat Wisconsin?
Yes.
I highly doubt that from what I saw against Iowa. Wisconsin can shoot the ball at least. Are they going to Maryland and winning?
Yeah, that's iffy. We could use that game though.
Are they going to Minnesota and winning? They could use both of those games because I think right now Minnesota has played their way onto the bubble. So actually with it being a road game, they might be a top 50 or 75 team right now.
So that could end up with there's your third.
Yeah, but it won't matter because it's Minnesota.
I think we may have a better. I still think we could probably beat Minnesota. I'm not Maryland is just a tough, it's always a tough game.
I think, have you watched Minnesota lately and Maryland? Minnesota's
no.
actually pretty damn good right now. Michigan State, they just won back-to-back road games. It's more than most Big Ten teams have done. So I think if you honestly...
Do I honestly? No, I don't think so. I say...
No, I mean, honestly, I don't know if we're going to win any more games.
I think we will.
Which one? Wisconsin.
Wisconsin and Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to put a bet on that one.
Okay.
Michigan State is playing pretty well.
You
right
need
now.
To get rid of that ugly hat anyway. So
don't call it ugly hat. You should know the story of the hat before you rip it, because there's some people in Cincinnati right now that think you're a complete asshole. But
well, coming from people in Cincinnati, that means a lot to me.
Well, it should, because you're from freaking Chicago,
Northwest Indiana.
Hello. Yeah, Chicago. Are you? Wait, so you're not a Bears or Cubs fan, right?
Yes, and you know I am.
Yes, I do know that. So you're from Chicago.
Northwest Indiana people typically tie into Chicago, yes.
Yeah, because they're liberal morons, right?
Yeah, right.
All right. So give me your prediction, Indiana versus Nebraska.
I say Nebraska by 8.
You're being very positive right now. I'm going to say Indiana by 12. I'm just kidding. I will say... I think what we'll see is, I think we'll see what we always see. I think we'll play like 5 minutes in the first half, 5 minutes in the second half. We'll keep the game relatively close most of the way. But yeah, I mean, Nebraska's playing for a lot more than we are. And the other thing that stands out to me, they play a lot harder than we do. So really, how about this? The only change that is really needed is for the five guys on the floor to play hard for 40 minutes. And we don't get that. And I'm sorry.
No, I'll add it. Five guys playing hard as a team.
Well, yeah, if you're playing hard, you're playing as a team. Because if you're not, you're just playing for yourself. But and this is my thing. And with Coach Woodson, I will say this. If I am paying him $4 million a year and I have watched 25 games where nobody plays hard, I would have a serious issue with that. Because that does fall on him. You got to figure out a way to get guys to play hard. The best coaches or guys that are great coaches are guys like Chris Collins. The thing that stood out to me is when I watched Northwestern, especially the second half when they were going to the side of their bench, is how into the game the Northwestern team was as a whole. Even the guys sitting on the end of the bench. Where you watch Indiana, you go down and you score, like one or two guys will jump up, everybody will clap. There's just no intensity there. And I don't want to watch another year of this. If you could show me intensity the rest of the year, I'd give him a shot at the portal. But the portal thing scares the hell out of me right now. Because you screw that up and this team could really fall apart.
Well, I don't honestly don't think we talked about that with Alec last week. I don't think he didn't cast the net wide enough last year. He was focused on two or three players, didn't get them, just like you know. Obviously, he was focused on a couple of players this year in the recruiting team class, and he's only gotten one. And he lost out on a couple of guards that he wanted to get. So I hope the hell he starts casting the net real heavy on the guard side in the offseason.
I like seeing casting heavy everywhere. Offer 50 guys and then pick out the three or four you want when they say they want to come. That's how most players do it. But – all right, I'm gonna say
that's how Crean do it. That's how Crean did it. And he over
recruited all of them. That's how everybody does it. Hell, that's why Alabama sometimes you look at the roster and they'll have like three quarterbacks on the roster that were like four or five stars. Of course, two of them will transfer after a year or two, but you got the one you wanted after then. I'll say Nebraska 88, Indiana 72. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't know. All right, we will be back Thursday, same time.
Same Thursday at noon?
Yeah.
That should work.
All right. We'll be back Thursday at noon to recap the Nebraska game and preview the weekend game. Ryan, you want to tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter and around the internet?
Right now, people are telling me where to go, not where to find me. But well, we have the Got Woodson Facebook page now has a X Page. So it's got / Woodson on X, or if you want to talk, see me personally, it's BK Moore on X.
Give me your address too, just in case they want to see you personally.
Yeah, no, thank you.
All right, you can follow me at Grueling Truth on Twitter, because it's Twitter to me, just like the Washington Redskins are still the Washington Redskins. I don't change things, which is why I don't like New Jerseys. Make sure you check us out Thursday at noon as we recap, hopefully us both being wrong, picking Nebraska. But until then, he's Brian Moore. I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been watching and listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.